thank you, Kurt. I was like, did he get him an actual
right
psychologist following the because fucking shooting and paralyzing of he's literally sitting there PTSDing. Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of the fifth season of Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Avis.
I'm Caroline.
And today we are discussing Degrassi Season 5, Episode 6. Still haven't found what I'm looking for. Roses are red, Jimmy's rediscovering himself, and apparently Liberty and JT need fucking Danny's help. After months of hard work, Jimmy is finally back to his old self. Except he's not. Because that's not how life-changing injuries work. Or trauma, for that matter. While Jimmy is having a hard time with this, it's nothing compared to how hard Mr. Brooks is struggling with that truth. Over in the B-plot, we get more insight into Liberty's pregnancy and how it affects Danny. I'm just so tired of Danny and Derek already.
I don't hate Derek right now. He was kind of a little shit. And then Jimmy schooled him and he stopped being a little shit. I feel like Danny had potential to be so much better than they let him be. But they were just like, fuck this kid and everything he stands for.
I know, it's like, I mean, my literal first note is stop trying to make Derek happen. I despise his curly ass. And I just think it's because of what he goes on to be. I don't know why they decide to say, oh no, he was always this douche. It's just Jimmy reformed him about the ableist, like, language.
But it's not just that, because it's like, spoiler alert, down the line, he has that when Liberty's like freaking out about her baby that she put up for adoption.
Oh yes, he's adopted.
And Derek is actually like really great in that.
Yes, and I don't know why they decide to do that and then have him participate in things like bullying Jane when Jane comes along because he's in the story for just way too fucking long.
He's another, like, underdeveloped fucking character.
They kind of, yeah, they decide to just stick him in places where I don't really ever think he fits anywhere. I don't know they want us to believe he's the jock. I mean, he fits with Danny. He fits with Danny if he fits anywhere.
With Danny, and he fits as, like, an annoying asshole.
Yes, but he doesn't fit as, like, the jock who's a team player. I don't buy that he's a joiner. I don't buy that he goes out for all these things because
I don't buy that he makes the basketball team.
I don't buy that he makes the basketball team and he is like a hot shot on the basketball team.
I don't buy that he makes the football team.
And that he's first string on the football team. We all need our second string players.
There are athletic boys at this school. I've seen them. It's not
in the background. Books. Yeah, I've seen these guys. I've seen it in the background. They exist, except no, they don't, because Derek is the only guy who can challenge Jimmy in a battle of skills on the free throw line. Clearly.
I'm sorry. No wonder Jimmy's non-jumping ass has better fucking jump than Derek. Derek is like 4 feet tall.
He really is. He's not very tall.
It's fine.
It's absolutely, you know, we love a short king. I just don't love Derek. Derek is not the short king. He's not a king. He's just short. And I don't, I mean, it's fine. In this episode, he is particularly, like, supporting Jimmy. Like you said, he's, like, there with Jimmy when his dad is, like. But he
still makes a chance. Blah, blah, blah. Takes a chance to be gross about Ellie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but, like, B-plot first.
Yeah, B-plot-wise, it's not strong.
It's not very strong. I want to talk about the liberty of it all. Yeah. I also want to talk about the fact that there are so many gross terms that they could have had Danny use to discuss women. And the one that they landed on, while not a slur per se,
I don't know. It's bad. What is it exactly? I forget. No, I wrote it down. I wrote it down. I don't
want to say that word. I will.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I swap it to mother or mama or whatever if I'm singing, like, an old standard in the shower.
Danny is not supposed... Like, are we supposed to like him?
No.
The fact that he makes sense. The fact that he is the most, like, the one that's making the most sense... In that ending conversation that they have where he's like, I just think that you need to learn this shit because you're the one who's going to be a dad.
Right.
Which is fair because he didn't even know what a trimester is.
Yeah, that's my first B-plot note is why does JT not even know what a trimester
that's
is?
That's like the like first you thing you learn.
Words enough to what, like.
Right. Right. You should understand. Yes. Prefixes. Okay.
No, Quan teaches only Shakespeare.
Quan said that's all you need
it's in like life. At fucking Rosewood High, where all you do for your 4 years of high school English is read To Kill a Mockingbird.
Education. JT is just like, I don't know what this is. I have no idea. I don't know. Like, it's fine. I am just... concerned about you showing, and I've cracked no book. I did no half-assed Google search for a genie pig or whatever the fuck it was. That's the last time he Googled something.
He only cares about things named Isabella.
Clearly, that's the only important, the only important woman in his life. Yeah.
Liberty is like, Liberty needs help. And, like, I know that they're on the outs, but JT is not so dumb and particularly emotionally dumb.
Right.
That he shouldn't be hip to that. Like, I know it's overwhelming, bruh, but Liberty's literally broken right now. The Liberty that you know would have had the next several months of your life planned out to the minute.
Yeah, if she had any sort of...
she started missing her period, that calendar would be being made.
Yeah.
Like...
And he is emotionally intelligent. Like, I refuse to believe that JT... Even though, like, that JT just had so many glimmers of, like, being an emotionally intelligent, like, person. Mm-hmm. Not even just for his age, but just period. I just think he doesn't want to know, like you said.
That's the thing is, like, I hate this arc because even as, like, I am not a JT stan. I am even a JT hater.
I don't get it.
But JT is consistently emotionally intelligent
He's petty as fuck, but he realizes he's wrong. He'll come around. But
he realizes he's wrong. And when his people are, like, hurting.
Yeah, he's there.
He's there, right? And, like what's going on with Liberty makes perfect sense to me.
It does. She's a kid. The fact the fact that she feels like she does not have any, like, that she has to take care of all of this, that's such a kid response.
Well, but not just that, but the way that she's not taking care of any of it.
Right. That's to try to take care of all of it and like not realize that you're not. and like JT pointing out basic things that she knows, but she's not trying. She's trying not to think about it because she feels like if she doesn't have
pregnant,
right? If she doesn't have all hands on it, like if she doesn't have a handle on it, if she can't figure her way out of this, then it is truly something that that's above her head, and it always was.
But she can't deal with that, so
she cannot deal with it. It's just right. And the fact that, like, even what she said in the in Foolin', like, you know, I, every day I wish wake up and I don't want to be pregnant anymore. And guess what? I still am. Like,
right.
You can't. That's not something that you can wish away. It's not something that you can't confront because it's happening. Just I mean, but I think it's a not to be all philosophical, but a bigger like metaphor for life and just not being able to, like, even when you're depressed and having issues, you want life to stop for a second and you want to get your breath and catch your like just be able to like chill for a second, like without things happening, but it's just not possible. You can't stop things. You can't stop being pregnant. Things are happening. You can, but not you can, but not by wishing it away.
Right.
You can't wish it away. You got to take some sort of action. And Liberty's just an inaction right now. She is in a state of inaction and she is just trying to get through her, like get wrap her mind around what's happening to her.
Right. And I mean, and JT is also a kid. Like, I expect JT to step up because he has a responsibility to, because he does, but so does Liberty, right? It's that
I think he would, though. The way
that JT is being, I don't
It doesn't make sense for his character. Even last episode, Foolin', him going to the drugstore and like having that whole montage that I think could have been replaced with Liberty's feelings, like it's him spiraling because he is really realizing the gravity of the situation. And I think that would prompt one of those Edward Cullen style Google sessions. Like, he is not gonna not be in, like, not even just to be in it with her, but just to fully get what he's in for. Because I don't think that he would separate himself from this to the point that he's, and he's not. That's the thing. His actions don't indicate that he is seeing himself as separate from right. what's going
on. He's a slacker when it comes to shit he doesn't care about. This being something he doesn't care about, I don't buy.
He totally cares about it.
He totally cares.
He's putting himself out there. And I mean, that I think I forgot some of the facts that, like, that, you know, him be the little background things that they tacked on, like how we just saw her, you know, you can mangle your parts in an industrial, your male parts in an industrial accident. Like, those little interactions I had forgotten about. And I really do think that they try to make it apparent that JT is putting himself out there and trying to connect with her.
Yeah, but if he couldn't connect with her, he would still be
engaging with this situation because
right.
it's gonna have to come to, like, he is not a dummy. It's been proven time and time again that when he is interested in something, he's interested in something. And like you said, he slacks about things he's not interested in. He would have gone full Isabella, like, oh, you know, guinea pigs find somewhere dark and safe to have their babies. How does he know more? That's actually kind of a plot hole. How does he know about Isabella's, the like, the gestation of a fucking guinea pig shouldn't be any, like, the terminology shouldn't be that different.
Right.
Where... You gonna make me motherfucking Google the gestation period, like gestation period of fucking guinea pig? No trimesters, but like I think that just an understanding of a gestation period and pregnancy,
right?
No, I don't.
It's all very frustrating, and you
and
know
he's playing dumb. It's frustrating. Dumb. Yeah.
You know what else is very frustrating is Liberty is in her third trimester. She is very clearly not well. And we are talking about JT. And next we're going to talk about Danny. And
next we're going to talk about Danny. But nobody is really... And we're seeing, you know, kind of how I said, oh, Danny could find out if she's like puking or like looking in the mirror and at her belly, and he comes in and interrupts her. And it's like, they want to have that scene, but they also don't want to have that scene. So they chicken out and do something similar to it. But I think that the way that they make it in that context of like having JT be the one that he attacks and like, JT, I want to talk to you. How dare you do that to my sister? And it's all about the like, their relationship and not Liberty. All of these things are not about Liberty. Like, I just want to know how the fuck Liberty's doing other than her vomiting and her symptoms of being like, we know she's pregnant. We know physically she's pregnant, but clearly,
I mean, we know she's not doing well, but that's,
we know she's not doing well, but that's because she has to interact with JT
and Danny
but we get more time about this fucking dumbass electronic baby.
Right. I don't even mind seeing how it's affecting JT and seeing how it's affecting Danny. But like,
why not Liberty too?
Why don't we get a Liberty episode?
Why isn't it even like, why do we get no scenes with just Liberty? Why does it have to be Liberty and Danny? Liberty and JT? Liberty and Danny and JT? We don't get Liberty looking in the mirror,
where
assessing
Danny?
Her pregnant body. We don't have her talking to Manny. We don't have any of that connection of like, not even talking to Manny, but Manny maybe even noticing something. Right. Or I don't know. Like, we could have gotten any connection that would have made it okay if you're going to put somebody else in the, if you don't want to have a scene alone with Liberty for whatever reason. Okay, but at least put her in there with someone who would have something relevant to say about her that would open up the door for her to talk about how she's feeling,
right,
in specificity. Where it's about her and not, oh, how dare, you know, I don't, how dare you not know what a trimester is, and don't tell mom and dad, and like, just very, like, I don't want this. This is not what I want. This was covered in the last episode. Like, you could have given us a scene with Liberty just sitting there, just thinking about her life. That, like, I don't know. Give us something that shows that it's not just like a plot device that she's pregnant.
Right.
Like, that she's an actual person and not just like the pregnant girl.
Not just part of JT's storyline.
Right. It's disappointing, and that's one of the reasons why the B plot is very weak. I feel like it just is a disservice to Liberty as a character. You have so many complex things that you could bring up in this pregnancy. Like, she's literally class president. Like, she comes from a very affluent background. Like, there's just a lot of
her
angles you can hit it at.
Mayor.
Her dad knows the mayor. Like, why not bring her dad into it and make it, like, I don't even want it to be, oh, about her dad and her. But, like, there could have been other angles that would have given an opportunity for Liberty to speak. Right. And just, it would have, like, humanized the situation.
It's weird. It's annoying. I don't like it. And I'm kind of, like, I've only watched Next Class once. Yeah. But I kind of feel like Next Class is not as guilty of this shit.
No, people, I think once we get there, you'll be pretty surprised. I have only personally seen Next Class twice.
I didn't hate it when I watched it.
I didn't hate it either. I think that they do a lot of things right. I think that they try to do a lot of things that are like woke, you know, quote unquote. But I do think what they try to do is pretty successful, and they pay a lot more attention to things that they maybe glossed over.
It doesn't bother me for Degrassi to be quote unquote woke, right? Because it's always been.
It's always been, yeah. Like, I think honestly, people were upset about it because, like, it was Netflix, nothing more.
TNG era, especially was pretty, the, like, the N era.
Mm-hmm.
Is the least woke of all Degrassi.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at even how the 80s series covers, the late 80s, early 90s series covers a lot of things.
They have a student with HIV.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, and you think about the attitudes that people, like, you could swap it you know, HIV for other social issues, and the depictions would stand up, and even without swapping, the depictions stand up.
It's been a long time since I've watched the 80s shit, but like, I vaguely remember BLT as a character, and I don't really remember him having any storylines about being black.
No, his storylines were about like dating. He has like one storyline where his where Michelle's parents don't want them to date because he's black.
Which is a reasonable storyline to have, but it wasn't like every episode was.
No,
like,
it wasn't.
Here's the character. Here's this.
No.
That's all you really need to know about him.
Right. And it wasn't like, oh, he's the athlete and he's like, this is his, like, you know, he's there to be the black athlete.
Right.
Like, that was not his thing. He was allowed to date one of the pretty white girls. He was allowed to, like, just exist as a character. He didn't really have too many of his, like, I think maybe had one storyline, and he was mostly, like, in about dating Michelle and dating other people in the school. But he was a part of, like, one of the popular friend groups. I think that the black characters, because then you have Lucy, who is like the Jimmy of her, and she's like the OG Jimmy because their parents don't fucking care about her. But that's not her storyline. Is not about being black. It's not about being a black girl. It's about being a girl in you know, going into, she's one of the most popular, if not the most popular girl in her grade. Caitlin
isn't just the girl with epilepsy.
No, she's like, also not just the girl who's kind of gay, but then kind of not, because they run that shit
like,
that fast.
No, I think that Next Generation, like, and I love Next Generation, and it was certainly had a lot of ways in which it was progressive in its time, mm-hmm. but also simultaneously was way less progressive than it was in its time in the 80s.
Yeah. There are things that, like, I don't know if they just leaned really hard back into that whole after school special format, and it just made things, like, way more, like, needing to, like, simplifying things, like, needing to just kind of strip things down so that they can better maneuver people and, like, as archetypes versus actual characters. But, like, I think they realize that that's not what people watch the show for.
Right.
I mean, it takes them a while. It takes them a long fucking time. But they do eventually realize that, like, yeah, this isn't what we're coming for, to, like, see things not pay off and to see characters not, like, be able to break out of their box that you're putting them in. Like, you need to kind of give these characters the ability to, be like, break out of whatever little box you put them in. Because you do have gay characters in Next Class, but they aren't the gay characters that are just gay characters. They have other things to do. Like, Tristan is a gay guy, but that's not... He actually goes through other things. I mean, I think his...
Right.
He's pretty flamboyant and gay, but...
He's the, like... Maybe
Miles would be a better example of someone who gets, like, to...
He's the most, like... TNG coded gay character.
Yeah.
But like, even Tristan is better than Marco.
Tristan is much better than Marco.
He's the bitchy gay villain stereotype, but like, at least it's consistent.
He used to also be fat, so he's got that chip on his shoulder. So they add that little layer of, like, okay, he had a glow up. He used to be fat. So there you go. There's a little added layer of something. And that's something that they completely did not plan for, because you can't plan for that.
Right.
They're just like, oh shit, we got a glow up on. No, I would take, and I don't fucking like Tristan. I would take Tristan over Marco in about the same amount of time that they're on the screen. Just because I think that they don't make us want to, like, Tristan's not someone they're like, okay, you have to like him. You right. have to like this guy. He's got a heart of gold. No, Tristan's a bitch. The show knows Tristan's a bitch. We know Tristan's a bitch. Tristan knows Tristan's a bitch. And he is not like the like I feel like the show wants us to think Margo can do no wrong because he's gay and he's the lovable gay guy and he can just say a bunch of quippy shit. Oh, it's fine. It's queer eye for the. It's queer eye because he's Mar. But like that was the thing for a while, for, like to have the quippy gay dude,
mm-hmm.
and like the bitchy gay guy just be able to say whatever the fuck he wanted and it was cute. That was the thing. That was like the tokenism.
Yeah, I'm.
But I fucking hate that. And it make upon rewatch, Marco is very much that. He's saying the things that are snippy and that like people wouldn't actually say unless they're playing a character. And I knew that gay guy in high school. I knew that asshole who thought that it was okay to say things that were really, really like rude. And everybody might be, you know, if everybody is thinking the same thing, okay, maybe it's that, but no one would say that because that's uncouth, you asshole. But that was just a whole trend that I'm glad has died and fallen out of favor.
Like Marco can be catty. It's not one of like the adjectives I would use to describe him, but he's also like, Marco is so not developed and like, he's gay and he's not a particularly good friend. And that's at least
I would put that with him. No, but that's who he surrounds himself with is his ladies. I mean, he's got Downtown Sasquatch, but when he's but really
he doesn't surround himself with his ladies. He has a lady. And it was Ellie and now it's Paige.
I mean, for right now, but they do want us to believe that Marco is like with the girlies, like he's
right, but he's not. Have we ever seen him just like hanging out with Hazel?
No, I don't even think they are friends.
No, nope.
Even though they're supposed to be in a friend group.
They went
group.
To prom together.
I don't believe
together. They went in the same bus.
Yeah, it's one of those friendships that I think that it's doing a lot of work off camera. We're supposed to believe that they're doing a lot of... It's like Jimmy and Ellie. I don't believe these two are friends. And it's weird.
Yeah.
And it's weird. So for me, it's like Marco, like, I don't know if I would say, okay, one of the most defining features is catty, but he doesn't really have many defining features. Is bad at relationships? Is needy? Is... whiny, is catty occasionally. I mean, but the times that he is catty, like I remember it. So it's like it counts for me because it's like you're so unassuming until you say some shit that's like, how long have you thought that, Marco?
Right.
How long have you been sitting on that one?
Tantrum's been thrown.
That's exactly what I'm thinking about. Yeah.
That was the moment when I was like, nope, fuck Marco. Fuck Marco. And then the way he's been pushing all of these ill-advised relationships. Manny, you and Spinner are like so good together. Craig, you and Ellie are like so good together. Paige, you and that oily fucking teacher are like so good together. Fuck you, Marco. I fucking...
You're still a bitch for what you did to Hazel Aden. No, it's very much like he gets to be whatever they want him to be, but most of the things they give him to do are like negative, so I'm not moved.
I get it, right? Because Marco's such an important character to so many people, right?
It's what he stands for, but if it's like when you actually do the work to like think about any of the things that he actually does.
Well, that's one of the problems of this like after school fucking special formula, but make it a long form like a series show.
Yeah.
It's like Marco in Pride is really powerful and impactful.
Mm-hmm.
But then so much time is spent with him being a background character, essentially.
Right.
And true of most of the characters. Like it's mm-hmm. just frustrating.
Yeah, they get their moments and like the moments that they have in their individual arcs are like so succinct, and it's like, this is what I want the character to be. But then they can't have that character be like that all the time, because that's the main character. They're not the main character right now, so they've got to fall back and do supporting character shit. And that's not consistency. Because you have people who wouldn't do, if they're like, some of the things that Marco does in some of his arcs are so definitive and like, okay, if he acted like this all the time, shit would not flow the same way. Like, same with Ellie. Ellie is one of those characters where in her own arc, she kind of kicks ass sometimes. But in everyone else's arc, she's like whiny, codependent.
No, I'm sorry. Ellie is whiny and codependent in her arcs too.
Yes, but she kicks ass. And without that element of like standing up for herself and reclaiming like things that are necessary for her to function, she sucks and she is not a good character. But you need those things when she's, when she's a main character, she didn't do those things. She's not like,
well, I like to transition to the A plot. I hate this Ellie Jimmy thing. Like, they're not,
it comes out of nowhere. They're not friends. We've seen them not be friends.
They're in a band together. Like, it's weird that she's
she
like
rejected never, him like, once.
We're going, I mean, that was forever ago, and like, that's whatever.
I would feel that, and I feel like Jimmy's the type of guy to remember that rejection.
Right, especially because she did give Spinner her number. But yeah. in her defense, he was eating like bananas and granola. But that episode's so weird. But like,
it is.
She's just like, we're not friends, and suddenly she's messaging him being like, we're going to this.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. It's weird. And why didn't they choose? Could they have not chosen someone else that would have been a little bit more believable, that like actually had a relationship with? Because like I feel like they just want Hazel and Ellie to consistently beef.
Yeah, they over do want dudes. Hazel and Ellie beef.
Yeah, it's like, just can we not have someone trying to steal her man?
Yeah, I don't like this episode, like, at all.
I also don't like this Hazel. I don't like this Hazel.
It was really fun. I liked Andrea's delivery when she's like, maybe I like art, and he's like, do you? And
yeah.
Like, no.
No, I don't get art at all. Yeah, I don't understand art at all. Yeah. I like that line delivery, too. But it's like, I mostly don't like how she's like, I would have thought if you were, you know, feeling this way or that way, you would have come to me and not Ellie Nash. Because the difference is, if he was feeling whatever and he went and talked to Craig, if he was feeling whatever and he went and talked to Marco, she wouldn't have given a fuck.
Right.
But it's because she went and talked to Ellie, who admittedly is a random ass bitch as far as she's concerned, because the only thing y'all do together is kind of play in the band, and y'all don't really spend like, as far as she knows, they don't spend time together.
As far as Jimmy knows.
We have not seen them so much as glance at each other.
Right.
Like, they don't interact.
No, it's weird, and it feels forced, and it feels like...
I would buy him and Paige having that interaction way more. And it's not that they're better. I think that they just have a better foundation of being friends.
Right. And I could see Paige. Yeah. Like, I could totally see Paige seeing Jimmy's sketchbook and then happening to see Ellie looking at this gallery thing and being like, what's that? And being like, hey, Jimmy.
Yeah.
This kind of reminds me of the shit you're drawing. You want to go check this out?
And, like, that flirty shit is way more, like, I buy that way more from Paige.
Well, but it would be a completely different, like, it wouldn't be flirty shit.
I guess it wouldn't.
I don't think that Hazel would be as bothered by it.
No, Hazel wouldn't be as bothered by that because...
She might be like, why are you... Hazel would be like, why are you guys having fun without me?
Yeah. I just
you know that I just like cease to exist when I'm not with one of
when
you.
When I'm not right? attached
like
to
I'm
one of you.
I'm just in a void. Have you seen The Good Place?
Oh my gosh. I find it so... It's like they don't... I don't... Obviously, I don't have an example now that I'm thinking about it, but when they do this where they're like a random person, they're friends, it's fine. I don't like it.
Right.
I don't like it.
It's not great. It just doesn't...
I don't like it.
I don't know. Sometimes it makes sense, but this doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. This don't make no sense.
It's not there.
Stacey, no.
You know what? I take back what I said way back about Stacey Farber's acting. It's not Stacey Farber's acting. It's the writing of Ellie. Like when he like messages her back and he's like, what time or how far away is the gallery?
And she like thumbs like, up.
Weird thumbs up. She's really cute there. And like, it's well delivered.
Yeah. But I wonder what the script said.
It doesn't make sense for that scenario.
Yeah. If the do they get like, were they penalized by going over a word count? Because sometimes I think that they could just like throw in like one word.
Sounds good.
Yeah, like yeah. Like with that like
she's
awkward...
really good.
She's like, no, there's a word or two missing in that, like, within that awkward thumbs up. Like, gorsh. I don't know why.
It's I don't gorsh.
Gorsh. I don't. My body physically can't do that.
Gorsh, Jimmy. Gorsh. It's about 10 minutes away.
Also, why did Ellie not pay attention to the time? Ellie
right,
is not a good friend.
Sabotaging. Like, it feels intentional.
I'm so sorry. I made you miss your tryout.
No, I was like, I started it. And, like, early on, I'm like, can we get into, like, is Ellie also a mastermind? Like, fucking Darcy? Because, like,
yeah.
I can support that. But no.
I just think that she's not a good friend.
No.
Because, like, if scenario-wise, Caroline, you're like, hey, I've got some important-ass shit to do at 9 a.m. And I'm like, bitch, we have to go brunching. We've got a brunch. But I want to do it, like...
What time do you think brunch is?
All right, I'm bad with time. Let's push it back to 10. And you're like, I have something... I want to brunch at 10. You have something to do at 12. And I'm like, okay, that's plenty of time, but like, and then we get carried away talking. It's 11:30. I'm like, bitch, there's a fire. You got to get the fuck out of here because I've set an alarm. And if I hadn't set an alarm, I'm at least checking my watch every 10 minutes.
I've been still been checking the time. And I probably would have asked these three times, like,
when do you need to leave to get there on time? Yes.
And I'm going to set an alarm for a good, like, 10 minutes before you need to leave so that we can wrap up things and, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And, right, and like, fucking put boots to the road. Except Ellie is not a good friend. She is not considerate. She just let him get art, like, art time blind. And, like, she had no regard. And is just like, I'm so sorry. I made you miss your tryout.
Now I'm going to make eyes at you while your girlfriend is pleading with you to explain to her.
You cunt. That was like the worst.
I was really upset.
I was really upset. I was like, the way I rolled my eyes.
It's not.
I said, Ellie's annoying ass smile. It is giving. I know you, the real you.
Yeah.
I know you, the real U.S. bitch. You and your fucking best friend in England. Y'all get the fuck on my nerves.
And it's also, like, it is sad. Like, I felt for Ellie, like, because she's just so fucking codependent, right? And Margo did shit for Paige. And Ashley did shit for England. And Sean ditched her for Tyler Bishop in Wasega Beach.
Craig dissed her for Manny again.
Craig ditched her for Manny. He friend zoned her. Like, it's But you know he's not going to have time now that he's dating Manny. And, like, I don't know. I do feel for Ellie because she's really fucking codependent and she has nobody. Like, I guess she's got Alex, but then Alex is friends with Paige.
They're not even friends. They're about to start. She has no she has her mom. You know what? It's good that her and her mom are back on good terms because at least she could go home and her mom have dinner together. I know they do. Because they need each other, man. It's hard out here. Ellie's got nothing. No. And, like, I think Craig was, like, the last... I mean, honestly, it might be... Mastermind, it might track. Because she just got out of the shit, like, with Craig. Like, she just, previous episode, got out of bullshit with Craig.
And now is...
And now is glomming onto Jimmy, Craig's best friend, on occasion.
Sometimes it's Marco, occasionally it's Sean, but not so much these days.
We're not supposed to talk about that, but yeah, it's very much so giving, like, I'm gonna fuck your best friend,
right?
So yeah,
I'm not willing to give Ellie Mastermind credit at this point. We can see, but
you're
like
Ellie
not,
is not is too dense.
I'm not fucking having it.
She is not playing chess. She is playing checkers. Got it. And that's fine. I don't necessarily... I think that it would track that she's being a little bit, like, vindictive. Because it's so random. This shit is too random.
She's not even playing checkers. She's playing, like, Connect Four.
What's the... Shit. You said Connect Four.
I did say Connect Four.
That's so rude. She is saying you are playing a game that is so simple. Most children can play it. No offense to most children. But yeah. I'm
sick of talking about Ellie, though. Can we talk? Because I do. The Jimmy of this, I think, is important. And I
it
think
is.
That, like... it's sad, right? Because Jimmy does still love basketball. And I think Jimmy would be into basketball if his dad wasn't fucking hinging everything on it.
His dad has always been, like, my least favorite kind of parent.
Jimmy's dad, my notes say, like, I hate Mr. Brooks. Jimmy's dad sucks. Jimmy's dad is the fucking worst. Like,
mm-hmm. Maybe that's why another reason I don't really like Hazel on this, because she sides with Jimmy's dad.
Why are you having conversations with his dad?
Why are you having convos with his dad? And, like, his dad has historically been terrible. Like, historically, right. His dad has just caused Jimmy nothing but, like, anxiety and, like, he's had super high standards. And Jimmy is just, like, even when he was able to, like... pre-injury and he was able to, like, meet some of these expectations, he was still left alone. He was still constantly, like, pushed to the side,
right?
Like, that historically they just don't have a strong enough relationship for you to put any stock into what this guy says. But the fact that nobody but Ellie Nash can recognize that Jimmy has maybe undergone some, like, personality altering, like, trauma here is like fucking annoying.
I love, like, when Jimmy's, like, has his little, like, trying to get his dad to hear him freak out before his tryout.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, it's before that. It's when he's, like, shooting hoops when his dad gives him the new chair.
Oh, yeah.
And he mentions getting him a sports psychologist.
I was gonna... thank you, Kurt. I was like, did he get him an actual...
Right.
...psychologist following the
because
fucking shooting and paralyzing of... He's literally sitting there PTSDing. I know that's...
He
literally is sitting there, like, going, like, having fucking flashbacks and, like, rage.
That awe echoing in his brain, like, what are we doing? And we're pushing, like, and it's sad, right? Because, like, Jimmy is pushing himself enough mm-hmm. to get back to who he used to be. And Jimmy needs to, like, figure that shit out and, like... As his father, you need to be there at the ready to, like, help him figure out the next step once that truth comes crashing down on him. Not fucking duct taping holes in the ceiling.
Yeah.
And being like, sports psychologist. Like, and I'm not even against a sports psychologist, I mean, but why are we like.
But why are we pushing a sports psychologist? And I've never heard you talk about just a psychiatrist is what we need here. It's just like, so the medication can be prescribed.
But like, did Jimmy get any counseling? Like,
any therapy? He
wasn't there talking for survey therapy. Day. He was not there for survey day.
He was too busy having been just shot.
Right.
He was the cause, one of the causes of the survey day.
I mean, so, he wasn't the cause.
Well, he was.
He was one of the hot topics of the survey day. A lot of people had a lot of feelings about what happened to Jimmy.
Nobody had any feelings about what happened to Rick except Toby. The show would like us to believe.
And Manny. But Manny, it was more about Toby.
Manny?
Yeah, remember Manny went to the funeral with Toby.
Oh, right. Oh, completely and fucking forgot about that. Off
and was like, this they is just... your friend and he's hurting. And like, fuck you, dude.
I just completely think it's because they just did not have Manny in the shooting so episode. But yes, she was holding Toby down when he really needed it.
That's a lot of emotional maturity for a teenager too, to be to like look at this kid and be like, oh, of course he's sad. Like, before this kid was the shooter, he was his friend.
Yeah,
he needs a friend right now. He's
that's because Manny's an empath.
Like, I know, I love her.
She's an empath and she is a good friend, and that's why she doesn't understand why people are always trying to fucking hurt her, and she's just trying to live her life.
She's an empath, but she's still gonna fuck Ashley's boyfriend. Like, I get it, though.
That's because she's an empath that she fucks Ashley's boyfriend. Yeah, I really hope that Jimmy saw some, like was received some sort of therapy. I highly doubt it, though, just based on
Sauvé came to the hospital.
Sauvé is grossly, like, underprepared for any of this.
In. Did you notice how unsafe the ramp to the Brooks home looks? One side just has no fucking railing.
I think that is, if that is what he made Jimmy stay in the hospital an extra, like, what was it, 2 weeks or something, or week to fix? And didn't they live in a condo?
They did live in a condo, but that's fine.
Now so this is
a house.
Now they live in a house. And if this is, I don't think that that's, I don't think that that's, no, it doesn't look safe. Doesn't look sturdy. Doesn't look compliant.
I'm not with, about like, it.
Building it's, laws.
No.
Like zoning and like appropriate carpentry. I don't know. It's not clearly fucking detailed. Quarters were cut. He is more concerned about getting this boy the top of the line wheelchair. The
Lexus of wheelchairs.
The Lexus of wheelchairs without consulting also, him first.
Like, yeah, you don't just want to, like,
I would imagine you don't
want a brand new wheelchair. That's like,
I would assume, right. Like, that's like breaking like in new shoes.
A brand new pair of cleats the day before the soccer World Cup thing.
Correct. You want to know that you can, like, it should fit you, like, you should be able to break it in and, like, get used to maneuvering.
Right.
And such. And he just.
Guy already said he's awkward in his chair. Now you want
to. Right. Now you want to.
And it's, like, a specifically a wheelchair basketball chair.
Yeah. Like,
that's, I assume, maneuvers Move. Differently.
Right. And should he be in that chair, like, all the time? Like, shouldn't he maybe just practice in that chair and then, like, wheel around in his normal chair?
Well, he would if he had the time.
If he had the time, but this is,
like,
it just shows that his dad doesn't fucking get it and he doesn't want to get it. He just wants to buy him things that are that is going
to
make
him feel like he's back. Until he can fix it.
Yeah, he wants Jimmy to be back to how he was. I will not pay for stem cells. I draw the line.
Okay, well, I saw you cheating on mom. You know, I've been thinking about those stem cells, son.
Could be a good investment. Yeah, it's not okay. It's not okay, and I think that it's pretty clear that Jimmy's dad has always just cared about Jimmy being the version of his son that he prefers and like idealizes versus like, was that ever actually Jimmy? Jimmy was probably going to grow out of playing basketball too. He was probably not going to go to a D1 school. Do they have D1 schools in Canada?
Like, no. Jimmy was supposed to be...
If he went to that D1 school, I don't think that he would have... That wouldn't have been something that, like, okay, maybe that what like is why he got into the school he got into, but I think he would have gravitated toward art anyway. He would have found a different thing to gravitate toward if it wasn't basketball. Yeah.
I hate everything about this plot. I don't. I love Jimmy. I love that Jimmy finally starts advocating for himself.
I love that he starts advocating for himself. I think that he always, being honest about like, okay, maybe this isn't what I'm destined to do is scary, even if you're not like unable to do the thing the way right. you used to do it.
Right.
Like even some just
being like, oh, hey.
Yeah, this shit ain't no more.
Maybe I want to be in a musical instead.
Maybe I would like to sing. Maybe I would like to paint houses. whatever it is, it's all like I feel like it's difficult. He's doing it. His dad is not getting on board. His dad's still pissed off, and who's pissed off? The coach. The coach is like waves him away. Like, so you wasted my time. Me, the coach.
Bro, he was lukewarm yesterday, and his dad was
and his dad was the one who was strong arming you.
So, like, fuck you.
Is his dad the one who's gonna
on your point?
You wasted your own fucking time.
Yeah,
fool me once, shame on you.
Well, and if Jimmy had been like, look, man, I really am sorry. I really want this, please. But like,
no, that's not what happened. Jimmy was like,
I can't do it like you do at please. All.
He's not. He don't give a fuck, really. He's mm-mm. like, oh man. He's I like, know it won't happen sure? again. I want some more auditions. That fucking coach. I just want to know. Maybe there's a backstory. Maybe like Mr. Brooks like never got to try out for his basketball. Like maybe he wishes he was like a basketball star, and instead he's a lawyer.
Because his parents made him focus on school. He wasn't allowed to play basketball or any sports.
Yeah. He got to play sports
in gym class and for a half hour a week with his neighborhood chums. And otherwise, he was studying.
You get in here and stop playing all that basketball. That basketball isn't going to pay those bills. Yeah, so now he forces all you can do is play basketball. I don't give a fuck what else you are interested in.
You will do nothing else.
Yeah.
Look, you are already in a band, son. That's enough creative time.
That's it. Like, I think that why does this show like want to make it clear that like, okay, I went through this traumatic thing. This person gets me. You don't.
I know you, the real you.
I just can't with that like whole concept, because why is it happening again? Why is it the taming of the shrew again? Except
Jimmy's dad. Jimmy's is Jimmy and Ashley, and Jimmy is Ashley.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's how the tables have tabled.
The turns are tabled.
Oh my gosh, it's so bad. This is such a... the only thing we take away from it is, like, Jimmy is going to be his own person. He is giving up being
He's not the basketball guy anymore. He's just not.
He's wheelchair Jimmy now.
My devils. What the fuck was that sound?
I don't even know. This is what happens when we record the end of my day.
Is there anything else we need to discuss plot-wise, or are you for segments? Because I feel like...
I'm going to just do a quick scan, but I think I'm good.
Yeah, no, same.
Why not?
I talked about the ramp. That ramp did not look ADA compliant at all.
Oh, the Echo in the art gallery scene really fucking creep. I didn't like it. I wanted to skip all of the, like, I wanted to skip the art gallery scene because it was so, they clearly just found a location and set up the fucking cameras. They did no, like, nothing.
Nah, dude. Yeah.
It was bothersome. The ceilings were way too high in that bitch. How easy would it be to design a wheelchair from the ground up?
Also, we've never heard of Jimmy have it. Like, I've never seen Jimmy even doodle.
Even doodle.
I've barely seen that kid hold a fucking pen.
No, it's true. That shit's true. Me either.
But now he's like, look at this, like, hyper realistic but still kind of like comic style drawing of me getting shot. I even know what I look like as I fell to the ground from behind. Ah, why didn't I zig? Why didn't I zag?
Why didn't I zag? It's so bad. It's so bad. Why? Who gave him a picture of the product of the fucking still?
Did you ever watch Heroes?
No. Thank God. I heard it's really bad.
It's really, it was like season two was writer's strike. Mm-hmm. So like it was just, it was a victim of the writer's strike. And okay. It was a shame because the first season was really good. And there was this like artist who was also like a heroin addict, and he would like do heroin and then paint the future.
That sounds like he's glorifying heroin too. Why is heroin the key to this?
I don't know, because he had to black out. I don't know, Avis. Why is heroin the key to a lot of fucking art over the generation?
Do heroin know. About
Why
it.
Why are you asking me? Ask fucking Janis Joplin.
Not Janis Joplin. I will not be asking Janis Joplin.
Ask Jimi Hendrix then.
I might ask Jimi Hendrix some shit. But not Janis Joplin, because I feel like I don't need those influences. And I don't think that Jimi Hendrix would make me want to do psychedelics and other, my, but you know.
Janis Joplin, like, would she be peer pressuring you or like...
Blurf, you know.
Or just you want her to think you were corruption. Cool?
I think I'm easily corruptible. S tells me that she like is always worried I'm gonna get inducted into a cult. So
and so if Janis Joplin was like, hey kid, you want some heroin, you'd say yes. But if Jimi Hendrix was like, hey kid, you want some heroin, you'd say no.
Let me double check.
Are you looking up Janis Joplin or Jimi Hendrix?
No, I had a picture of Jimi Hendrix on my wall in college. That man, probably they would both do some things to me. No, Janis Joplin just seems way, like, in the right light. Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Okay. And this conversation took a very weird turn.
It really did.
Nothing. Do we want to let that weird turn lead us to the fucking fashion corner?
Yeah, because I don't.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. Oh, no, 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 not Tubi. Don't open Tubi. I'm not trying to watch Degrassi right now.
No, 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 no.
I'm trying to look at my gallery. There we go. Okay. I have some fashion. Righty. I don't have a lot of shots fired, but I've got a little fashion.
Mm-hmm. I have, you know, scanty. I have like 7, you know, shots fired and 6 fashions. I mean,
I'm not fucking counting right now, but I have some of both. My first fashion is Marco. While the credits are still fucking rolling, I couldn't get a picture of it without the credits. But this light yellow on khaki with a brown belt and a hat.
It's not an outfit that I personally am like, Marco.
And a white leather cuff. It's not like, it's not horrible, but like, it's not good.
No, it's, I think that Marco is just like, in his, I'm gonna throw whatever at the wall and let it stick in terms of fashion era.
Yeah, I mean.
And I mean, many people were just accessories. Apparently, you just couldn't go wrong with as many accessories as you wanted. And I'm so happy that we don't wear polo shirts as much as we used to as a society. Because, geez, oh my God.
That collar, it's like popped in a way, at least in the shot that I have, like it doesn't look like, I mean, I'm sure it is starched, but it's like he didn't touch it at all.
No.
It just like, it's, and it's more the like khaki pants, yellow shirt than there is no the outfit is, like the outfit's not good.
And he looks like none of these colors look good on him. Like neat, like this yellow and this tan, neither of those are his color. He looks good in like brighter colors, black. Like he like I actually enjoy when he wears
in like a bold yellow.
Yes, if he wanted to do like a canary, something that would match his like complement his skin tone. These colors wash him out and they just make him kind of look like he's it's like a background character.
I don't like it.
Like, I know that people, I don't think anybody ever really talks about like how they dress background characters as to not interfere with being the like the, like they're not supposed to be a draw. When you're in the background, right, you're not supposed to be wearing anything super interesting. But Marco looks like a background character in the way that like he is super washed out and I don't really notice him other than him
be standing with these two kids.
Yeah.
In the back of the screenshot that I took.
Yes.
And he wouldn't look particularly out of place. Mm-hmm. A little bit. They're a little frumpier than him.
Like, it's clear they're like, he's got to go. He's, you know, he can't be completely, you can't go full bummy. You got to just, you know, the unkempt look was in, but not full roll out of bed. You did not even try to, like, starch a collar.
I mean, that's not what's happening. It's just like, I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, what's your next fashion?
Hazel in that same scene. You know, I love a jean jacket. I love the, like, it's basic. I believe it's and white. I always white have my filter. Jacket. Yeah, I have my, like, tinted filter on. So let me take that off so I get the true colors here. But yes, I love a white jean jacket. It fits her nicely. I feel like they do a good job at getting, like, stuff that fits her body type. Mm-hmm. She's got a cute little like a purse that's supposed to be a school bag, but it is not. And you know, a mandala. I think this is a mandala
flower,
mandala flower on her shirt, and it's a nice like baby blue. And I don't know, the side part's working. Like her, she's serving. Like they actually give her good wardrobe in this episode. I don't think this is something that Paige would wear. It doesn't look like a Paige clone outfit. It looks like this is something that Hazel put together.
Right.
And it looks good on her.
Right. It looks like, it looks at like a Hazel outfit, but like if you were like, oh, it's kind of similar to something somebody else would wear, it's closer to like a Manny.
Yes, it's more like all American, like it's less prep. It's got like that, like Levi, Ralph Lauren, even like sort of
pre-goth Ashley, not season one Ashley, but like
less Ralph Lauren. Yeah.
Like before she went full goth, when she just kind of started going a little darker, mm-hmm. this is like a brighter version of that. I like it.
Yeah.
And not that I think that she looks like either of those, but like.
But yeah, if someone. No, I do not see Paige in it, right? I would see other characters before Paige. And just because it's in the same scene, Jimmy with his Five on It t-shirt, because I love that song. And I know it's a reference to Triple Five Soul. I know it is not a Loon's reference, but I choose peace, and I'm going to choose to believe that he is referencing the song I Got Five on It by Loon's and not
speaking Triple Five of Soul. Triple Five Soul.
Mm-hmm.
My next one is in the outfit that he's wearing the day of the art gallery. And it is a Triple Five Soul hoodie, I assume, because it says New York Soul. It's zipped down, though, so the words are split. I don't really love that on a hoodie. But it's like this like red neon almost is what it looks like. It's a cool hoodie.
Yeah, I like it.
With, I think, a white hood. It's a black hoodie, red writing, white
it's
hood.
It's got like a...
And it looks like a neon sign. I like it.
Yeah, there's no hood. It's like one of those...
Oh, is that not a
collared? Yeah, no, it's like a, but the way he's wearing it is like off of the neck. Okay. It's supposed to be more firmly around his neck, and he's got it like askew or something.
Oh, okay, no, I see in a different scene now.
Yeah. Okay. I actually will comment on, I mean, Ellie's outfit in the gallery, I mean, she wears it earlier in the day, but I particularly have to comment on the cuff.
Yep.
And the pointy boots.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I guess...
Otherwise, like, it's a fine outfit. Like, do I love the belt around?
I was going to say the belt.
But it was the style was at the time. It's a cute shirt. I really like
it. I like the shirt and the jacket.
You've been wearing a lot.
Yes, that circle necklace is a really... Mm-hmm. I like a statement necklace. It's very... simple, but it is statement. It's bold. It works
like
for her.
All of her style has grown up, except she's still carrying this Emily the Strange bag.
Yes. But like, she cannot let go of that bag. She loves it.
It's so close to being a cute look, and then it's just the cuff of the jeans and the point of the shoes.
I can't, and it's like she's short. I know she's short.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's why she thinks that this is acceptable. It's not. It's not. Everything else I'm fine with. Like, I think that her, like you said, her style is pretty as good as it's going to get. And right. It's just, gosh, I really don't like pointy shoes. I think that also just takes away. I just don't like a pointy shoe. Gosh.
That's your next question from me.
Oh, okay. I have a couple more. One of them is just the last time that we see Ellie. I love when they put her in red. I think that she just looks very nice in red.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a redhead thing, like red and like emerald greens, like very nice on redheads. It's not a particularly like interesting outfit other than the fact that it's red. But I just felt the need to like mention it.
No, it's a decent outfit.
Yeah. And Hazel has got like a pink top. It's like when she's in the nurse's office with Jimmy. It's like gauzy. It's similar to the top that she was wearing with the white jacket, but she is not wearing a jacket with it. And it's not as I think I'm just excited that she gets to wear more than one thing. And maybe that's why I have to shout it out, because she actually gets some cute wardrobe in this episode that she does not normally get. It's like, you know, keyhole scrunchie around the neck and the arms. And then she's got a very similar shirt on in the cafeteria scene. Mm-hmm. I think out of the two, I like the one in the cafeteria scene better because it has the, like, the little jewels around the neckline. It's kind of, what is that, like, opening called? It, that's not keyhole, but it's like a slit.
Yeah, it's like a slit.
Like a pointed slit.
Yeah, it's like, it almost gives, it's like a collarless
shirt. Yes, it's like a collarless shirt. And it almost gives too old for her, but I think they accessorize it well. And I also think we're getting into that time where everybody's going to start looking like a secretary soon. And I'm not excited for it.
Nope.
I'm not excited for it. But that is it. That is it. Hazel's fashion did not save this episode, unfortunately. Neither did the shots fired.
Shots fired.
I have three shots fired.
just three?
So, yeah. Do you want me to do mine and then you can?
Yeah.
Word. I have Danny telling Liberty, well, if you're going to binge and purge, do it somewhere else. Not that it's working, Tubbo. Which is horrible, but definitely a shot fired.
Yes. Mine comes before that, actually.
Oh, what's yours then?
I have just Danny saying, I'm sick too. Sick of waiting for you to get your sorry butt out of the bathroom every morning.
And then I have him throwing the baby at JT and being like, it's not like you don't need the practice, Dad.
Mm-mm-mm.
And then I have him saying, just support its neck, moron, and stop complaining. If you had kept the dime stack in your pants, you wouldn't be in this situation.
Yes. I have Jimmy's dad saying, in this, they'll take you seriously. We'll all take you seriously. I just think he's just so rude.
No, there were a lot of Jimmy's dad's lines that I, like, could have been, but I was just like, it just didn't, it felt so.
It's just rude.
Yeah.
It was. It's because it was. I have JT saying, thanks, Yoda, I noticed. And I am firing a shot at Ellie for that Joe-ass smile. And, like, the sixth count of codependence since the season started.
That's valid. I accept those shots fired.
Ellie, I was rooting for you.
We were all rooting for you.
How dare you. I don't know if I can keep rooting for you, girl. It's getting on my damn nerves. That smile pissed me the fuck off. It pissed me off. I don't usually get this pissed, but I forgot about that smile over there being a little high school homewrecker. You suck, Ellie.
Ellie does suck.
Because, like, why? Right
now.
Yeah. Why? Just for fucking shits and giggles? You're breaking up the only black couple? Like, Jimmy. Like, she does not like Jimmy. It's been documented that she does not like Jimmy. Well, she does.
When he breaks up with Hazel and is like, Ellie, she's like, no.
She's like, what, Hannah, nah? He's like, okay, well, I broke up with, and I was thinking that we could, but you don't feel the same. And she was like, yeah, I mean, you just kind of broke up with your girlfriend who held you down while you were, like, in the hospital recovering from a gunshot wound, and I was nowhere to be found, including, like, not even your friend at the time, but, like, you, it's fine.
But Ellie.
But she wanted this, so it's okay. She doesn't know you.
You know me.
It's like, and we can totally take drawing classes together, but I'm still soups in love with Craig. So. All right.
All right. Who shines? For me, it's Jimmy.
Jimmy put... He shines until he fucking breaks up with Hazel in like three episodes.
He didn't break it. Well, yeah, but
when he does, then he can go on the bummer list. He's fine. He had a journey to go through that was all his own. And I am proud of him for standing up to his dad. Like, he's like, you're giving up your dreams, son. No, Dad. Giving up yours. It was so funny. That's and I'm proud of him for that, because Jimmy's dad needs to know that this fucking train is, this train is going on ahead without us. Like, we're not, this is not the Jimmy Brooks basketball star show anymore.
They canceled that plot line.
They canceled it. It's over. It's over. Who else?
Does anybody else shine?
I mean, no, because Liberty, JT, and Danny all get on my nerves.
Right? Like, Danny's the least awful of the three somehow.
He is the least awful of the three, but that is not saying very much. He is the one least affected by this.
Right. And he's still awful.
And he still sucks.
He okay, is so
who's not the impregnator nor the impregnatee, and he's still a bitch. JT, Liberty, Danny, Hazel,
Mr. Brooks,
Ellie, Mr. Brooks,
Coach Armstrong. Where was he? Liberty is 6 months pregnant. She shouldn't be breaking up fights.
It's the one fight that he can't fucking put down his Stouffer's meal, his fucking Lean Cuisine fast enough and sprint out there to get his shit. He's like, damn it, I can't be in Duplex. I can't be all over this fucking school.
No, he's like, he looks out the window. He's like, it's York and Van Zandt. They can't really hurt each other that much.
He's like, y'all don't pay me enough to be this. Like, why is there a fight every 2 weeks in this bitch? He is tired.
He is so tired.
You're like, Armstrong, you're on my shit list for not flying to the situation.
I mean, Liberty's pregnant. She doesn't need to be. What if Danny? I mean, I guess that would have solved her problem if she had.
Oh my gosh, Caroline. No.
It would.
Yes, but no. Jesus.
She wakes up every day wishing she wasn't pregnant.
Have you ever tried a flight down the stairs?
She's probably stood at the top of the stairs a couple of times and thought about it. I know I did before I got my abortion.
Shit, I think about that. Like, my intrusive, like, not intrusive. I guess it's, I don't know if it's how intrusive it is, but I just stand at the top of my stairs sometimes and I'm like, it is steep. What if I just jumped? What if I just cannonballed down my stairs? Don't do that.
No.
But that's how much my mind is trying to take me out. On any given Tuesday. Well.
On that note.
On that lovely note.
This episode of Your Mom's Podcast certainly went there.
Is Willy Wonky.
This episode of Degrassi go there?
Does it go there?
I want to say yes. So. I think the Jimmy shit's important, but I can't.
I don't think it. I mean, it is important. Jimmy shit is important, but I don't know that, like. It goes there.
And, like, Liberty's pregnancy is important, but how Danny feels about it is not
that
important.
It's not that important. An electronic baby getting ran over in the road is hilarious, but not that important. I mean, that baby
was already dead. Its head was on backwards, fucking, like, Exorcist style.
They fucking... And how many hundreds of dollars did that fucking baby cost?
Right, Danny's lucky he didn't have to pay for it.
That's why they gave us either an egg or a sack of fucking flour, because they didn't have the budget, bitch.
We called them pot. They were called pot bellies, and it was just like a little oblong thing with arms and legs that we had to carry around for a week and write about in a journal.
Oh, no. How can you connect to I guess if you made it, then you can connect to it, right?
No. I mean, maybe somebody did.
Caroline said no. Somebody did, wasn't me.
Like, at least an egg or a sack of flour, you gotta, like, keep it safe.
Yes, yes. You gotta, like, not sit on it, not drop it. Yeah, this shit does not go there, but, yeah.
It was an episode.
Oh, somehow we still talked about it for an hour and 20 minutes because we love talking about this shit, even though it's annoying how much this shit. I really feel like the both of these plots were like a struggle to get through in some way.
Yeah.
And not because they weren't like interesting to a point. It's just like, come on.
They didn't make any sense. JT is not Like, why is JT acting like this?
Why is JT so dumb?
When have Liberty or not, when have Ellie and Jimmy
been
friends?
They're acquaintances at best.
Right?
Okay, they haven't even done a school project together. Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm just not about it. I don't like this episode.
No.
Thanks for listening to your mom's podcast. Next week, we're going to be joined by TikToker Nelly Eats and her daughter Riley to watch everyone's favorite agent of chaos, Jay Hogarth, help JT find his way to some terrible life choices. This episode of your mom's podcast was made possible in part by horror comic art from the 1950s, life sciences, and support from listeners like you.
Yeah. All
right.
Bye.
Boom. Roasted.
We would like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers. Tay.
Evie.
Miranda.
And an extra special thank you to our Titty Snake producers, Alika.
Brandy,
Chelsea,
Corey,
and Tawny.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, guys. Love you.